Very good morning. Let us turn to the passage for this morning. Again, just one verse, and a very short verse. And that is in the book of 1 Thessalonians, as we read just now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 20. Despise not prophesyings. Despise not prophesyings. What are prophesyings? I remember when I was in school many years ago, I was in a Methodist school in Singapore. And every once a week, we would have a chapel session. And we would have, either the school chaplain, sometimes it will be Methodist pastors from various churches in Singapore. And they will come and, well, give a message of sorts. And I remember quite often, I didn't really understand then what was going on, but the message will begin with something along the lines of, God spoke to me last night. God appeared to me and told me to tell you this. Or God told me that I have a message for you this morning. And that will, from then on, be the premise upon which the message flows. Today, in many churches, they have what they call the ministry of prophesying. There are many pastors today that give themselves the title of prophet. And so they say, well, I am a prophet. I have revelations, or I have a message from God. And God has called me, or God has anointed me, or they will use these sort of terms, to bring a message from God to you. And so they say, yeah, I'm a prophet. And a verse like this would very much suit their agenda or their purpose to say, well, it is a prophecy. Do not despise that prophecy. Do not look down upon these messages, because God spoke to me. God appeared to me in a dream. God has given me a message for you. It's a very dangerous thing. Is that what the Apostle Paul is talking about when he says here, despise not prophesyings? Now, before we fully get into what it means to despise prophesyings, I think it is important to take a step and first examine biblically what prophesyings is really all about. Now, was there in a time where there were individuals that received a word from God and was able to stand before the people and declare, thus saith the Lord? Yes, definitely. We see that in the Bible. But is that then an office that we have today? That there continues to be individuals that have that special revelation from God, whereby they can also confidently stand up apart from the Bible and give an entirely different or a new message? Now, that is something that we have to strongly caution against. And that is not what this verse is talking about here. Because after the completion of the Bible, the ministry of the prophet, or the need for the role of someone who is given direct revelation from God, has ceased. It is no longer something that we have right now in our church age today. But let us, well, first take a step back and ask, now, what is prophesying? So how do we understand prophecies? I mean, by definition, the understanding of a prophecy, right, is basically a message from God, simply put. What is a prophecy? A prophecy is a message from God. It is God's way of making known or revealing his word and his will to his people. That is a prophecy. Now, a lot of times, as we think about prophecy or prophetic ministries, we think of it in terms of telling the future, right? Commonly, that's what, you know, we talk about in terms of prophecy, fortune telling. Sometimes people say, oh, I can give you a prophecy. I can tell you your future. Was that a ministry in the Bible? Yes, it was. A lot of times the prophets, and by prophets I'm talking about, you know, the Old Testament prophets, right? Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel, people like that. I mean, they were designated as prophets, and much of their message was that, oh, this is what God is going to do to you. This is what is going to happen. They look forward to the future through the revelation of God, and they had a message for the people to say that, oh, judgment is coming, or God is going to bless you. These are things that are going to happen. So they look forward to the future. But that is not the only meaning of a prophecy. Because if we look at the definition of it in terms of, well, this is a message from God, right? That through divine inspiration, a prophet receives a word from God. It could be, yes, on one hand, telling them the future, but it also could be warning them about things of the present. And a lot of times, actually, if you look through the Old Testament, a prophecy is simply God's message for the people, for them at that point of time. That, yes, these are the situations that you're going through. And so it could be a word of comfort to them as they were in affliction. It could be a word of rebuke, warning them against the present sins that they were engaged in. Or, yes, also, to reveal to them things of the future. And that future could be either a word of comfort to them, telling them that, yes, while you may be going through certain hardships in the present, oh, in one day there will be this glorious age that God will grant to you. Or it could be that they are in sin and warning them that if you do not repent, all these certain destructions will come against you. I mean, all these things we consider under the umbrella of prophesyings or prophets. And so that was and continues to be God's means whereby which he makes known his will to us. It is through divine revelation where God reveals himself in certain ways to certain individuals for the benefit of his people. Right? And so, yes, as an umbrella term, that is what a prophet is. And so all throughout the Old Testament in particular, we see the office of a prophet. I want to turn us to a certain few passages to help us to perhaps more fully understand what the Bible says concerning the role of the prophet. Let us first turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. 1 Samuel chapter 3, we hear of this young man known as Samuel. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, and there was this very interesting incident in the early life of Samuel when he was but a child. And he was living in the temple as he was dedicated by his mom to serve in the temple at a very young age. And so he was there living with the high priest Eli. He was probably just a child at this point of time, right? Maybe 5-6 years old, or maybe a little older than that. We don't know exactly how old he was, but he was staying there from the age after he was weaned, right? So maybe 3 or 4 years old. And so there was one night that the Lord appeared to Samuel and called him, Samuel, Samuel. And time and again, he thought that it was Eli speaking to him, so he rose up. And then he went to Eli, but Eli said, no, I did not call you. And eventually Eli realized that now God was the one speaking to him. And so he told him to go back and you listen to the message of God. And then the next morning in verse 16, Eli called Samuel and said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that Lord has said unto thee? And so Eli, who was the priest, he was an elderly man. He asked Samuel, what is it that God told you? And then he gave him this instruction. Hide it not from me. God do so to thee. And more also, if thou hide from me any of the words of all the things which he has said unto thee. And then the description was, verse 18, Samuel told him every whit. That means everything, every word. and hid nothing from him. Now that became really the hallmark of the office of a prophet. What is the job of a prophet? Whatever it is that God tells you, you transmit. And so simply put, actually a prophet is really just a mouthpiece of God, right? That God tells the prophet certain things, and then the prophet transmits these messages to the people. And that became the description of Samuel, who was designated as a prophet. You glance down to verse 20. And Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. So all Israel, from Dan all the way up in the north, down to Beersheba in the south, that speaks of really the extent of the borders of Israel, they knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And what was characteristic about his ministry? Verse 19. And the Lord was with him, and it let none of his words fall to the ground. What does that mean? He never lost any of God's words. That means everything that God told him, he transmitted. He told the people, this is what God has told me, and thus saith the Lord. So, Samuel, could he have told Eli the next day morning, God spoke to me last night? Yes, he could. Okay, so he could, because he had that sort of direct revelation from God. Clearly, the Bible records for us that God spoke to him last night. And when he spoke to Eli in the morning, what did he tell Eli? This is what God told me. And Eli told him, tell me everything. Don't leave anything out. And it was not an easy message to give, because it was a word of rebuke. It was a word of warning to Eli, telling him that because of sin, you know, he will be judged, his sons will be judged, he has not been taking care of his sons properly, and all these sort of things. It was not an easy message, but he did so. Why? Because he was a faithful prophet, even from a young age. And for the rest of his life, that is what he will be. He will be a prophet, a faithful prophet. And what was characteristic of his ministry? The fact that he did not allow any of God's words to be lost. God was with him. God spoke to him, God revealed himself to him, and he faithfully transmitted all these messages to God's people. Right? Another passage we're going to look at, Deuteronomy chapter 18. Deuteronomy chapter 18. And this was actually a prophecy in itself, telling us about the fact that Jesus will be a prophet like unto Moses. Okay, a prophet like unto Moses. And this was the writings of Moses. And this is Deuteronomy chapter 18, verse 18. Right, Moses was writing, in this book, telling them that in time to come, God will raise up unto them a prophet from among their brethren. That means amongst the Jews will come forth the prophet. And what will this prophet be like? God says, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. So that again gives us a very simple and a direct definition of what a prophet is. And of course, we know that Jesus Christ, when he came, in himself, he fulfilled the offices of both prophet and priest and king, where Jesus is described as the living word of God. And through him and every word that he spoke, it was the word of God. I mean, he is God. Right? So in all the messages that he gave, the preaching, the teaching, the parables he taught, these were the very words of God, because he's God himself. But what was the description of him is that, you know, God says, I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak all that I shall command him. So again, we see that there, right? A prophet is simply a mouthpiece of God. He speaks the words of God. And so for them, what was their responsibility? It shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of them. They will be judged for that. But a prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And coupled with that is the warning that there will be false prophets. They will be pretenders. They will be people that want to assume the mantle of the prophet, Because it comes with it maybe a certain measure of respect, a certain authority which they want to command, but it's not a true one. Because there will be false prophets, and constantly throughout the Bible there is that warning. Then in the last days there will arise false prophets, people that will come and they will say, I have a word of the Lord, but it is all made up. Or it's maybe perhaps even their own delusion. It is not true. It is not real. But Jesus Christ will come as the prophet like unto Moses. Like how Moses was given direct revelation from God, and then he gave the word to the people. I remember that was the role of Moses as well. The one time that God spoke directly to the people was at the giving of the Ten Commandments. Right? They were all called to come near to Mount Sinai, and then the voice of God came from heaven. But after that, they were so terrified. They said, please, no longer. Moses, you know, God speak to you, Moses, and then Moses, you speak to us. It's easier that way. And so from then on, that became the way. God will speak to Moses, and Moses will speak to the people, and they will listen to Moses as if he has the authority of God. So that was the ministry of the prophet. Now, if we look at the Old Testament again in particular, we will see two sort of offices or two means by which they will execute their ministry. It is sometimes described as writing prophets and preaching prophets, right? Where there are some prophets that we don't really have a record of their writings. We have some records of the things that they said, but it is recorded for us in the narratives. Now, who are these prophets be? For example, very famously, Elijah, Elisha. There is no book of Elijah or book of Elisha. But we know that they were very prominent prophets in their time. There were others as well. For example, David had the prophet Nathan to come and preach to him, right? Rebuke him when he was in that sin, together with Bathsheba. And so he preached to David, and he was described as a prophet as well. And so there were others, right? Non-writing prophets or preaching prophets. But then there are others who were, yes, they were also preaching in a sense where their records are records of the things that they said to the people, but the writings are the records of their ministry are recorded for us in their writings. Okay, and so it will be, well, what we describe as the major and the minor prophets. And really the distinction between them is simply the length of their books, right? So Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, they are described as major prophets simply because the books are very long, right? 50 over chapters, 60 over chapters, Isaiah 66 chapters, very, very long books. And so they're called major prophets, big prophets, right? Because their writings were very big. And then we have what they call the minor prophets. And the minor prophets simply because they're very short, right? Some even just one chapter long, two, three chapters long, up to about 10, 12 chapters long. Right, I think longest will be Hosea and Zechariah. Right, they will be, I think, about 15 chapters long at most. But these are, well, all writing prophets. Okay, the minor prophets. So Hosea, Jonah, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, and so on and so forth. These are the minor prophets. But all of them alike, whether they were writing or non-writing prophets, same thing. They transmit the message of God to the people. And that is how they are described then in 2 Peter. If you turn now to 2 Peter chapter 1. Right, 2 Peter chapter 1, actually this whole passage is now talking about the Word of God, the Bible, which he says we now have. Right? In 2 Peter chapter 1, he says, now we have a more sure word of prophecy. What is that talking about? He's talking about the Bible. He says, what we have in our hands is this perfect and complete book of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that ye take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, until that you understand your spiritual eyes are opened, and the Lord Jesus Christ is in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, but the prophecy came not in old by the will of man, but holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So how did the ministry of the prophet come about? It was the working of the Holy Spirit. So it's very much related, you may say, to last week's messages when it's talked about, despise not the Holy Spirit. Now, one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit was, well, the ministry of revelation, revealing to God's people his word. And so the prophets of old, and you know, when they were writing, they were speaking about the Old Testament. How did it come about? It is not just that men thought, well, this is a nice thing to talk about, let's write it down and record it. He says the only way in which scripture was given to us is when holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That means all scripture was given by inspiration of God. It was divinely given to these prophets, to the writing prophets, to holy men of old. So Moses can also be understood to be a prophet. That's why Jesus was described as a prophet like unto Moses, because Moses was a prophet of God. He wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the first five books, right? The prophets, David, you can say, is a prophet as well. He wrote the Psalms. Solomon was a prophet in a sense also, in that he wrote, right, much of the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. Okay? And so these were the men of old who spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost, giving to us scripture, giving us this more sure word of prophecy. So coming then to the New Testament, again we see a description of the office of the prophet. Okay? Throughout the book of Acts, we see certain people had the gift of prophecy. In Ephesians chapter 4, we see that the office of a prophet, yes, was a specific office. Right? Ephesians chapter 4. And he says, he gave some apostles and some, and this is verse 11, Ephesians chapter 4. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. So he says, these are the offices, the roles which God has given to the church for the specific purpose that the church would now grow. And so he says, for what purpose? Why did the church have all these offices? For the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the church, right? The church is the body of Christ. So the church can be built up, can grow, right? For the ministry to the saints, that they would be made perfect. They will come to the fuller and better knowledge and understanding of God and of the truth. So that's prophesyings. So altogether, what we begin to see is a consistent pattern in which the ministry of prophecies is intrinsically then tied to the word of God, because that is what results through the ministry of the prophets. At each particular point of time in history of the church throughout the times of the Bible, God raised up individuals described as prophets, and their role was to tell people about, well, what God wants, right? And all throughout that time, their messages were being recorded. Their messages were now being collated and would finally, eventually come together as the full and complete, perfect word of God. And it is described then in the New Testament as a more sure, a more certain, a confident word of prophecy. And that is what the Bible is. What we also know is that as the canon came to a close, right, as the Bible was being fully completed, the office of the prophet also began to cease. And where do we see that? We see that in the book of 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Sorry, 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. In the last few verses, We are told in verse 8, right? In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, charity never faileth. Now, the context of this whole chapter is talking about the importance of love, of charity, over and above spiritual gifts, amongst which was also the gift of prophecy. Because the problem in the church at Corinth was that there were some people that had the gift of prophecy, but they were abusing it. They were using it to their own advantage. They were showing off. Oh, God spoke to me. And therefore, they thought, I am better. I'm more holy. I'm more important than the rest of the church because God spoke to me. And so he tells them, he says, what's the point? If you do all these things, but you have not love, and therefore love is really key, you must understand what all these spiritual gifts are given to you for. Okay? And then he says in verse 8, he says, charity never fails. It will endure. It will continue. Charity must always be there. Love must always be there. But whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, they shall pass away. What's the reason? He says, because now we know in part and we prophesy in part. Because now, and this was a point of time in which scripture was still being written, we don't have all the knowledge yet. We don't have the complete revelation of the word of God. And so we still need the office of the prophet to tell us these are certain truths that God wants us to know. But then he says, when that which is perfect is come. Now, what is that which is perfect? Relating to the revelation of the prophecies, what does prophecies eventually lead to? It is the word of God. And so he says, that which is perfect is come. When the Bible is perfectly completed, that which is in part shall be passed away. What is that that shall pass away? Well, the need for prophecies. Right, the need for that divine revelation whereby man would stand up and say, thus saith the Lord. He says there no longer needs to be that because what we have now is that which is perfect, which is come. Then that which is done in part, well, we prophesy in part, right? And so we no longer need to prophesy. We no longer need to have that direct revelation where God tells a person, this is what the message I want you to tell the people, and then they have it. So that which is in part shall be done away, and what we have left is a more sure word of prophecy. Now, coming back then to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. When the Apostle Paul said, despise not prophesying, was he still referring to those people who had the office of the prophet? Yes. Because at the point of time in which he wrote 1 Thessalonians, the Bible was not complete yet. There were still people that had the office of a prophet, himself being one of them. Right? And so, therefore, you know, earlier on in the book, right, in chapter 2, he told them, right, that I'm very thankful for you. Because when I came and I preached to you, you received it not just as the word of man, but you received it as the word of God. You understood the authority that we had as apostles. That as I bring a message to you, it is the word of God. And so he says, I was so thankful for you, right? He wrote that in chapter 2, verse 13. That you received my word, not just that it is the words of men, but you received it as it is in truth, the word of God. So there was still the ministry of the prophet. And remember, what was the purpose of the prophet? Not just to tell them about the future, but to tell them about day-to-day things, like what he was writing even right now in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Remember earlier on in chapter 5, he's talking about the future, right? That the day of the Lord will so come as a thief in the night. And so he revealed certain things about the future, but then he was also giving them very practical messages of the present. Pray without ceasing. Rejoice evermore. In everything give thanks. I mean, that was nothing about the future. It was nothing sort of groundbreaking revelation. It was just simply a message for them in the present. And that's prophesying as well. Right? Because as I mentioned, you talk about the contents of prophecy. A lot of it, yes, it is foretelling, telling the future. But much of it is also what we call forthtelling. Telling them forth what is in the present and what they need to know. Okay, and so when When Paul told them, therefore, despise not prophesying. The prophesying that he was talking about was basically the message of the word of God, for one, but also then the preaching of the apostles and the prophets, or everything that they were being taught, everything that they were being guided insofar as it was in accordance to the word of God. That's prophesying. Okay? And so while in the Old Testament and in the earlier part of the New Testament, it referred to a specific office, the office of the prophet, okay, just as a recap, what I'm saying then is that this office ceased. But the force of this command, or the spirit of this command, remains in that what it is then telling us to do is not to look down upon or to view with contempt. That is what despising means, right? Anything relating to the revelation of the Bible, of the Word of God. And so for them, yes, it referred directly to the Word of God itself, which is the product of prophecies. It also told them not to look down upon or to despise the faithful preaching of the Word of God. Okay? And these are the two main points which I would like to build this command upon. Prophesying, therefore, in our day, can refer to the Word of God itself, but also insofar as the Word of God is faithfully taught or explained or preached. That, in a sense, can also be understood as prophesying of the present, where it is not any extra biblical message which some so-called pastor or prophet in our present day claims to have. He said, God spoke to me last night. I had this vision. Oh, of this thunderstorm. And you know, the thunder. Okay, I'm not going to stop. No. That's not how prophesying work, right? It is not a spectacular vision of this and that and then build some new message based on the authority of that vision. No, that is not what prophesying ought to be at all about. But prophesying in our present is simply that, you see, this is what God's word means, and this is what we must do. Is there scriptural precedence for it? Yes. But we see the word of God being explained. For example, in the book of Nehemiah. In the book of Nehemiah, it told of a time in which people had returned from exile. Many of them may not have had any contact with the Bible prior to that because they were in Babylon, they were in Persia, they were away from Jerusalem. And so many of them had made that journey back. But now they were speaking a different language. They were not speaking Hebrew anymore. They were speaking Aramaic, which was the language of the Babylonian and the Persian Empire. But the word of God was written in Hebrew. Many of them didn't understand. And so when they gathered back at Jerusalem, after they built the wall, the temple, Ezra came and he preached to them. He, together with the Levites, what did they do? They read in the book of the law, the law of God distinctly. So they read out the Bible. And then they gave the sense, meaning to say they explained the meaning and caused them to understand the reading. So that was, you can say, you know, the earlier sermons, perhaps, where it is not, thus saith the Lord, in the sense where God told them what to say, and then they said it, but that they read the prophesyings, they read the word, and then they explained to a people who may not fully understand if they read it just directly themselves. Okay? And that, we can say, is today's modern-day equivalent of prophesying. So, having said all that, okay, just to recap, what we mean now by prophesying is the Word of God and any message which is faithfully derived from the Word of God. And so commonly, it comes to us through preaching, through Bible studying, but also through our own self-study, our own reading of the Bible, or as we read commentaries or literature relating to the Bible, tracts, gospel tracts, or anything from which we get the message of the Word of God. These are all the prophesyings that are present in our lives. So then the Bible says, do not despise. Do not look down upon that. Do not look lightly upon any time in which the revelation of God is granted to us, whether it is through the direct reading of the Bible or you hear it being preached or proclaimed. Do not diminish the importance of that, the gravity of it, because it is, and it continues to have, that force of effect, whereby this is what God says to us. Thus saith the Lord. This is God's message to us. Do not look lightly upon that. And so what does that involve? Every Sunday, we come, we hear a sermon, we attend a Bible study, we listen, and we have the understanding of the sense of the Word of God granted to us. He says, look not down on that. Do not belittle it. Because you see, the problem with us today, we have so much access to the Word of God. It's everywhere. The Bible is something so easily attainable, right? I mean, it's easy, it's cheap, it's free, it's everywhere. Bibles, I'm sure you have multiple copies throughout your house. Every one of us, I'm sure, has it in our phones, our computers today. It is so easily accessible. And we have so many opportunities to hear the Word of God. Sunday services, messages. And now it's all over the internet. It's online. You don't even have to leave the comforts of your home. A few clicks, you have access to that. But are we availing ourselves to all these opportunities where we have the Word of God given to us? Because our tendency then is to dismiss the Word of God. Whether overtly, blatantly, outrightly, we hear the Bible, we read the Bible, we don't care for it. I mean, that's a very obvious way in which we despise prophesying, right? We have absolutely no regard for the Word of God in our lives. We know this is a commandment, we don't keep it. We know this is what God says don't do, we do it. And we're not too concerned at all. Of course, that is a very blatant and a very sad way in which God's Word is being ignored in our present. And it continues to be, right? See it all around us. Maybe we're guilty of that as well. Where we blatantly ignore the commandments of Scripture. Or we blatantly ignore certain things we have heard in sermons or messages. And we dismiss that and say, oh, that's just the pastor's opinion. Oh, that's just the church's stand. It's too strict, right? It's not for me. Ah, this is just, you know, one of those, yeah, those sort of Christians, they want to obey, that's up to them, that's fine by them. But no, we are 21st century Christians, it's different for us today. We blatantly dismiss, but we try to justify it. Don't despise the prophesyings. Don't arrogantly assume that you know better, or that you think these are not for you, this is not necessary, not important. All of the Word of God is important to us. Every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, these are God's prophecies to us. We must look upon it with the greatest gravity and realize that this is the Word of God. And God does not just casually or accidentally tell us things. You know, the whole Bible was not given because just to fill up the pages to make it look impressive. No, there's a reason why the Bible is so thick and there's so many words. Because there are many things that God wants to tell us. There are many things that He has so lovingly prepared for us to know. And therefore, to despise not prophesying is that we stop giving so little thought or little care or regard for the message of the Word. And know that how sometimes the Spirit works is that at different points of times in our lives, we need perhaps specific messages from God. Yes, the Bible is thick. The Bible is wide-reaching. But you see, if we're sensitive to the Spirit of God leading us in our lives, you will realize that nothing is by chance, nothing is by accident. The passage that you read for your quiet time each day, it is relevant, pertinent. Maybe not always in the most direct way where we, oh, this is happening because of this. But as we consistently read the Word of God and we have that high view of the Word of God, what we will be able to sense is God leading us and directing us, giving us a specific message for us in this point of time in our lives. Same way for messages that we hear, sermons that we hear, Bible studies that we attend. God is prodding us, shaping us, molding us, directing us through the working of the Holy Spirit, that there is a message for us to be heard. And it's interesting, you know, in any given Lord's Day, and you know, there are 70, 80 of you listening to the same message, but some of you may have different points of the message that actually directly speaks to you because of perhaps particular things that are going on in your lives. And you may have heard the same point being made over and over again in the past through other servants. But because something is happening in your life at this point of time, God's prophesying for you is particular in that way, but yet general to everyone that is hearing it. And so that point may prick your hearts at this point of time in your life. And that is God's word for you. But then to someone else, you know, he completely misses that point, or he hears it, but you know, it doesn't sort of really click or register. But another point is made that does speak to him. And once in a while, you know, I do have, you know, sort of feedback that I receive. I say, oh, thank you for this point that you made. And now I look back and I think, you know, that was really not sort of the main point of the message. Or maybe I didn't even think about it in my preparation, but you know, sort of just came up as I was standing here. But through that, God has enabled, you know, this particular message to be of impact to this person at this point of time in their life. And we thank God for that. But that is the mysterious way in which the Holy Spirit works, and God guides us through prophesyings. So what Paul is saying now, as and when you hear these words, as and when God speaks to us through his word, do not ignore it. Do not dismiss it. Do not put it aside, push it aside and say, oh, well, okay. Because sometimes, you know, we have that, right? We read the Bible and we say, oh yeah, actually that's true. Right? Or someone speaks to you. Sometimes it can even just be a casual conversation. Or you listen to a sermon. And as you are sitting here, you say, oh yeah, yeah, yes. Okay, I've got to take note of that, right? That's important. But then half an hour later, you so conveniently forget. Slips your mind and nothing is done. Nothing is effected. While you're sitting here, yes, you have that conviction growing in your heart and you say, okay, this is something that needs to be done, or this is something that needs to change. But then after that, so conveniently forget. Or maybe that sense or that feeling sort of fades and then you push it away, you suppress that thought. You quench the spirit. The spirit has been trying to lead you, you quench that spirit. But in many other ways, but you know, today in our day and age, where you know the word of God is no longer respected, the word of God no longer is viewed highly, not just by the world outside the church, but by the church itself. And that was something which Paul, the Apostle Paul, warned us that will happen in the last days, in the context of biblical godly preaching. This was a charge that he gave to young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. I'll just read these verses to you. He says, and I charge you before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. He tells him what? He says, verse 2, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season. And in the midst of your preaching, what do? Rebuke, reprove, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Why? He says, continue to be faithful in your preaching, because the time will come, verse 3, when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. See, the Apostle Paul warned you, this is what's going to happen in the last days. There will be those people that will no longer want to hear faithful, sound, biblical preaching. They will just have itching ears. What does that mean? They want their ears to be scratched. They just want to hear words that are nice and pleasant to them. They no longer want to hear about sin and the terribleness of sin. They no longer want to hear messages about sacrifice and commitment and devotion to God. They just want to be entertained. They just want to hear a nice, pleasant word being spoken, jokes being told. They just want to perhaps pique their curiosity, but they are not concerned about spiritual things or having their lives changed. They despise prophesying. They turn the word of God to become no longer than a joke, literally. You know, you go to many churches today, pastors are actually trained to do this. He says, how do you capture the attention of a crowd? You begin with a hook. What is a hook? You tell a joke. You tell a joke. And literally, you hear countless sermons, you know, they always begin with a joke. And it's not relevant at all. It's just a joke. And sometimes to make it, well, in a church setting, they make a joke about Christian things or biblical things. So you go to heaven, you appear before St. Paul, and then Paul says, well, that sort of thing, right? And it just makes a mockery of the word of God. Joke after joke after joke. They become no more than just teachers because they have itching ears. It is just according to their own lusts. And they pick and choose. And today you can do that, right? You don't like a sermon, you go online. There are a whole plethora of sermons out there for you to pick and choose. You find the most entertaining preacher that you like, you can listen. It's easy. Don't even need to go to church anymore, right? You just listen to all these entertainments online and you feel, yeah, I'm being blessed because I received the word of God. But is that truly the prophesying that we need? This is the world today. And if you preach a harsh message, a biblical message warning and rebuking about sin, people say, I don't want to hear this. I don't need that. I don't need to come on Sunday and be scolded and told about how sinful I am. I don't like that any longer. That is the despising of prophesying that we see today. But instead, what we must understand is that we must hear the words of God and we must do them. We must not despise prophesying. Because what a person who despises prophesying is one who hears the word of God but refuses to do them, does not take it seriously. For example, do you remember during Jeremiah's time? Jeremiah's time, he was a prophet, right? He preached, he wrote scripture, he wrote warnings. It was in a time in which the kings, one after another, they were entirely sinful and they were at a threat of invasion. The Babylonians were at the doorstep and Jeremiah warned them again and again, if you don't repent, the Babylonians are coming. There was this king in particular, this king known as Jehoiakim. He was a terrible king, a very bad king. And Jeremiah wrote a prophecy and it was read to him. And what did he do? Jeremiah 36. Right, I'll just read to you in verse 23. The king was there and the word of God from Jeremiah was being read to him. It came to pass when he had read two or three leaves and then the king cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth, till all the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Yet they were not afraid. They were not concerned. It was warning, rebuking him of the sin. What did he do? He cut it up, he threw it into the fire, and he said, I don't care. Despise not prophesying. He despised the word of God. While we may not literally do that, we do not literally take a knife and cut up the Bible and throw it into the fire. Now, some people do. Burning Bibles is a thing. We may not literally do that. But when we despise prophesying, when we look down upon the message that God has for us, we ignore the warnings of Scripture. We are no different from that wicked king, cutting up the Bible, throwing it into the fire, moving on, shrugging as if nothing. But you compare that to his grandfather. I believe his grandfather, father or grandfather, Josiah. Josiah was a godly king. And in his time, as he was in the midst of renovating, repairing the house of God, what happened was that there was a portion that was not known, a portion of the word of God that was not known for many, many years, discovered. And the high priest, the scribes, they were excited. They say, let's bring it to the king, bring it to Josiah, let him hear, let him know that these are the words of God. And so it was read to him. What was his response? This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 34. 2 Chronicles chapter 34, and Shaphan, he was a scribe, he carried the book to the king, and he brought the king saying, you know, this is the word of God that was found in the house of the Lord. And then they read it before the king. This is in 2 Chronicles chapter 34, verse 19. And it came to pass when the king heard the words of the law, what did he tear? Not the word of God. He rent his clothes. And that was a sign then of mourning, of grief. Why? Because he was sensitive to the prophesyings that were read before him. He understood that as much as he had been a good king up to that point of time, he had been destroying idols, he had been turning the people back to God, he realized it's not enough. He realized that there were still so many ways, areas that they were sinning against God. He rent his clothes, and then he sent his people to go and look for a prophet. He says, go inquire of the Lord for me and for all of them that are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured down upon us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do all that is written in this book. He had great respect for the word of God. And that is what this verse is telling us to do as well. Where, when the command comes, despise not prophesying, what means also is that the opposite is true. Have the highest respect for prophesying. Have the highest regard for the word of God in your life. Realize that everything that you read and everything that you hear in which it is faithfully proclaimed from the Bible, you respect. You take seriously because this is God's word for us. And like how Josiah, when he received it, I mean, both to him and the wicked king in Jeremiah's time, both of them receive words of rebuke from God, telling them that they have sinned and judgment is coming. One responded by despising the prophecy, trying to ignore it, thinking that it's not going to happen if I cut it up and throw it into the fire. One of them took it seriously, rent his garments, and went to ask, what will become of us? We have disobeyed. And he turned to God and he prayed earnestly and sincerely. Which one are we? Are we cutting up the Bible, throwing it into the fire? Metaphorically, of course. Or will we rent our clothes and turn to the Lord and mourn and weep and cry unto him and say, be merciful unto us because we love thy word and we want to meditate upon thy word. We want to avail ourselves to every opportunity to receive the word. And as we receive it, to not just take it as like what the Chinese say, er bian feng, like wind passing past our ear, or what we sometimes say, go in one ear, come out the other. Right? That is to look down upon prophecy, but not to take it seriously, and to know that the word of God is important to us. This is something that we must read day and night, meditate upon the word, avail ourselves to every opportunity that the word of God is faithfully taught, and apply it in our lives, to obey it. Because Josiah, he was greatly blessed by the Lord. The Lord was pleased with him. The wicked king, he was judged. The Babylonians came, destroyed the nation of Jerusalem, the temple, and everything in it. Two kings, two outcomes. Which one will we be? Let us turn to the Lord in prayer. Our most gracious, loving Father in heaven, we thank thee for thy word this morning and this clear command that comes to us, despise not prophesying. Lord, we pray that thou will help us to hold thy word in the highest regard in our lives, to always want to hear, to know, to understand thy truth, and most importantly, to apply thy word in our lives. Forgive us in the times in which we have despised thy word, looked down upon it, put it aside and ignored it. We pray ever more so that thou will help us to have thy word as the highest priority in our lives, that we faithfully seek to obey every part of it, not some part of it, more or less, But all alike, equally, this is the word of God to us. We pray that thou help us, bless us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.